Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome everybody to Flickr Effect. It is Monday, April 8th, 2024, Total Eclipse Day. I'm Dave Lott. Joining me this week is Bobby Jackson. How's it going, Bobby?
It's good. Did you watch the eclipse?
I did. I was working, but I had some glasses with me to look at the eclipse. They were glasses from the one that we just had, like, because we had a small one, like a partial eclipse. What was that, like in October or something, wasn't it? Wasn't even that long ago.
I don't at least recall that.
At least in Florida we did. It wasn't that long ago. I'll have to look up when that was. Because I know there was then also, at least for me, it was a part, you know, here in Florida, it was a partial eclipse back in, what was that, 2018? But yeah, I had glasses left over from the last partial eclipse.
Okay.
So yeah, I saw it. Did you check it out?
I did. I didn't go outside to look at it. I too, like you, was at work. And so what I ended up doing is we had some glasses at work as well. And I could see it out of the second story of the building. So I kind of was just peeking out the window using the glasses for a couple minutes and looking at it. So it was kind of cool to see again. It's been a long time since I remember ever seeing an eclipse, and I've only seen a full eclipse once. So it was cool to see it again.
I haven't done that yet. And yeah, I mean, if I want to wait till it's going to be again over the US, I guess it's like 2044 is the next total eclipse. Wow. But there's others around the world, I think, sooner than that, I think. But yeah, it'll be a while if I wait to have one go over the United States. But my parents went to the Path of Totality, so they're camping right now. So they saw the total eclipse today.
Okay. Wow. Cool. So, I'm sure that'll be a nice little story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
speaking of eclipse, did you have a chance to watch Dune for a third time?
Oh, no, I have not. I say that, though. I was scrolling through Twitter, I think, this weekend, and I saw it posted in its entirety on Twitter.
What?
Yeah.
The entire Dune 2 Part 2 is on Twitter.
It was on Twitter. It was, and wow. I didn't watch it off of Twitter, but I definitely, like, kind of scotched around the timeline to see. I'm like, yep, this appears to be the whole movie. This is definitely Dune Part 2.
That's insane. So I know that things have been pretty lax since Elon Musk has taken over, but to have an entire movie of that nature just sitting there on his platform just seems like, I don't know, trouble.
Yeah, I don't know how new the tweet was or how long it had been posted and possibly how quickly it disappeared. I don't have any idea, but yeah, I just happened across it. The algorithm thought I wanted to see Dune Part 2 on Twitter.
Well, but no, I have not. One of the reasons why. So one of the reasons why I brought it up, since you haven't seen it at their time, was that it says, and from Deadline, it's saying that starting on April 19th, Dune Part 2 will extend its run in the format's top 20 markets across North America. This includes the 70mm and IMAX in two locales, LA and New York City's AMC Lincoln Square 13. Mm. And so it was saying basically this response has been so great that they decided to just keep it going a little bit longer. And I couldn't remember, but if I am remembering correctly, you had a chance to see it in 70 millimeter IMAX, right?
Well, no, I mean, okay. And I guess that depends on what you mean by that. I mean, when I think the 70 millimeter, they're actually projecting film, and I did not see a film projection. It is the theater I saw it in is a true IMAX theater, like the true full size, like feels like you're, I mean, I remember the ones that are at like Kennedy Space Center, like these, you know, huge IMAX screen. It's an IMAX screen like that. It's big, but they don't have film.
Okay. See, I didn't even know, because in this article, it's saying this includes 70 millimeter and IMAX in two locations. I didn't even know he had a film print version of it.
They did a conversion because they didn't shoot it on film. They shot it digitally. Right. And I read when I was looking up some details about the IMAX, like aspect ratio and such, I came across an article that explained how they did a conversion to film for projection, you know, at certain theaters that have the 70 millimeter projector.
Okay.
But to me, I automatically think, oh, well, you didn't shoot it on film, so I don't know if that's a priority for me to like find a 70 millimeter print version of this one versus like a Christopher Nolan film where he actually shoots on film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's part of the thing too. It's almost just the reverse of when something's been done in the format that's regular, but then they try and convert it to be in 3D. It wasn't made for 3D. Right. So it's kind of like,
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think I will see it again in theaters. I've seen it 3 times now in theaters. So I think I probably will end up just waiting again to see it once it comes out on HBO Max.
And I know, at least for rental, it's going to be available on digital to rent. Like, and I just looked it up to make sure I'm not wrong, April 16th. So, I mean, that's not far.
No.
Which surprised me. I remember when they announced that date, I'm like, oh, wow, that's sooner than I would have expected, considering how well it's doing. But, hey, what do I know?
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point, I forget how much it's made total, but I don't know that I want to say it's either in the 500 million or 600 million, but I just remember thinking that it probably won't hit that next million or 100 million mark. So with this little extra extended, I'm wondering if they're trying to push to get it up to that extra 100 million mark. I want to say it's in the 600 millions and maybe they're trying to get it to 700, but
could be.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'll hit that, but it doesn't need to. It did really well. And there was an article not that long ago, maybe it was last week or the week before, where it said that Denis Villeneuve said he will go ahead and be doing the part 3, just doesn't know when.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too, that it's like officially in development, kind of.
Yeah.
Is the way it's been worded. Yeah.
Yep. So hopefully it doesn't take it quite as long as this one. Although I say that, and I feel like it was right after the first one came out that he said he was starting to write the second one. It was something weird or crazy. And I remember thinking, wow, he's just now doing that part of it.
Right.
And yeah, so I can't remember exactly what it was, but it did surprise me when he had said it. I was like, oh, he's only now doing that part of it.
Yeah. But I swear I've read, you know, articles that, you know, in interviews, him saying that he has already started work like on the script for Messiah. Mm. But it also has sounded like, again, I think stuff I've read pulling from interviews, that I think he's tried to put it out there that, hey, don't expect this to be fast, because Messiah seems like a whole different ballgame compared to the first book.
Yeah.
I haven't read or listened to that book yet. I'm kind of undecided if I want to do it before the movie comes out. But I mean, from everything I've kind of seen and heard about it, it sounds a little just, well, different. And it sounds like an adaptation would probably, even more liberties will be taken, I have a feeling, with this next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wonder, is it like a whole cloth that he'll change in terms of adapting it to make it more, I don't know, appetizing, I guess, for people, maybe make it a little bit easier for them, or if he will just change things in the same way that he changed this one, right, where I would say most of it is still intact, but the things he changed made sense for the way he was telling the movie from the first part of it. So
right,
it felt like a natural continuation of where he was building from the first movie. So I wonder if he'll kind of do that with this next one, or if he'll radically change some aspects of what, from what I understand, are, could be contentious for people, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah.
Time will tell. We shall see. Yeah. But do you know what this week is, David?
Do I know what this week is? Oh, I know something else that Michelle will be very disappointed if I don't mention that what day today is.
Oh. It's, okay, what's today?
I believe today is Rex Manning Day.
Rex Manning Day. Is that... no, I don't know who Rex Manning is. At least I can't think of it offhand.
Did you ever see Empire Records?
No.
Oh, okay. So, for those who haven't seen Empire Records, that movie about a record store takes place over the course of just a single day. And that day at the record store is Rex Manning Day, because there's a musician named Rex Manning who's doing an in-store appearance at the record store that day. So it's, and I guess that was on April 8th, I guess. I guess they say the date in the movie, I suppose. I don't honestly remember, but I know people definitely go, okay, it's April 8th, it's Rex Manning Day. So yeah, I believe today is Rex Manning Day.
Wow. This is maybe it's come up before since we've been recording for so long, but I just don't recall it, that being much of a thing. at least not in pop culture, no, where you see it all over Twitter or X or whatever. I haven't seen anything about it.
So. I don't also think it's kind of the fact that Empire Records, I mean, it's definitely got a cult following.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I wouldn't call it on the level of like Breakfast Club or something like that, and it's just for us older generations, I think, is a big deal. But most younger generations, I don't even think know what that movie is.
No, I can't imagine they do. Yeah. Not at all.
Anyway, I don't know what this week is though. So what week is it?
Okay. Well, this week is the week that all the theater owners across the states get together and go to Las Vegas for what is known as CinemaCon. Starts today and it runs through Thursday. And for anyone who is not familiar with CinemaCon, as I mentioned, these theater owners, they get together and the studios will come, and on different days they will present what they have coming up within the next 12 months. It's basically showing their slate to the theater owners so they can get excited, so they can figure out how to market things and all that good stuff. And a lot of good things have been coming out of CinemaCon within the last few years. I think it was not that long ago, but when Top Gun Maverick came out, they showed that entire movie there.
Yeah.
And they've done stuff like that before in the past where they'll show an entire movie of something.
They'll show an entire movie, or I've also heard the whole show the first 10 minutes or first 15 minutes of a movie. Yeah.
Exactly. So this year it's kind of like, okay, well, what are we in for? And for what I do know, at least today, Universal is having a presentation, but not much of a long one. They're really using today to show The Fall Guy. So that's one of the movies that is being shown in its entirety. So you'll start to see probably a lot about that within the next 24 hours, I'd imagine.
Yep.
But they also have another day that they're going to be showing more of their stuff, which is, I believe, slated for Wednesday. And then I think I want to say I don't have all of the schedule exactly right, but I believe that there's like something from Crunchyroll tomorrow. And then Warner Brothers has a presentation in the afternoon. So I'm curious, very curious what Warner Brothers will show, because honestly, I can't really think of any previews I've seen other than Mad Max Furiosa, which I believe is a Warner Brothers film.
Yeah.
That they would be showing there at Wonder at CinemaCon.
That's a good question. I can't think of anything, but as I type in like what Warner Brothers movies are coming out this year that I can't remember.
So they have a 2-hour block from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. And it just says that Warner Brothers Pictures invites you to the big picture, a special presentation of its upcoming slate. So it seems like they're going to show multiple things, but I have to imagine they're going to lean heavy into Mad Max, being the fact that it's a blockbuster movie. And I know that that's going to be something that the exhibitors are going to be super interested in. So I can't imagine that that's not going to be what Warner Brothers leans heavily on. Probably. What else might be there? I can't think of. There might be something horror related that I'm just not pulling it off the top of my head. But yeah, so that should be pretty big. And if you see anything, David, let me know. But
Well, I mean, there's the Joker sequel.
There you go. There you go. That's probably another huge one that they will be presenting for sure.
And another big one that we just recently got a first look at. Is Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that was Warner Brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. So those are two that come to mind.
Yeah. No, those are pretty big ones, and I could easily see how those will be the focus. I think when I was looking on one of the websites, there was a standee of Beetlejuice. So to me, that says like, okay, that's probably something that they're going to be presenting there while they're there. It makes sense. Obviously, it's something that they want to probably introduce to the people that are going to be promoting the movie in the theaters, but also to kind of get buzz around it, because I don't know too many younger people. And I say younger, I mean, probably around the age of, I don't know, maybe 20, 25, that would know very much about Beetlejuice. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't seem like Beetlejuice is something that's carried over throughout the years as much as something like we just had Ghostbusters Afterlife. No, not Afterlife.
Frozen Empire. No.
Okay, yeah, Frozen Empire. And that has sort of had that resurgence, even if you just start back from that reboot. When you had the McCarthy and crew, that sort of like just kind of put it back into the zeitgeist, I think, again. And so then after we had Afterlife and now this. So to me, it's like, okay, I can see how that's sort of been reawakened and it's had some time to get to where it is today. But there's been nothing of Beetlejuice in between the time that, what, maybe there was the animated show that came out way back when, but that's like the last little bit of anything Beetlejuice related that's been around for years. So I'm curious to see how they will push this so that maybe it can carry over to a new generation. Maybe, I guess, because you have the actress who plays Wednesday, I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah. Someone like her, maybe that's your in terms of some of the younger demo. But outside of that, of course, people like us will show up because Michael Keaton and just familiarity with that character in the IP. But
right.
Yeah, I am curious to see if they can do something special in terms of being able to make it cross over to a younger audience as well.
Yeah. That's a good question. I mean, I know a much younger audience, like my kids, like Beetlejuice.
Really? They do?
Yeah. Because it's one of those movies that we'll put on around Halloween. And so they've seen it more than once. And when we went to go see... when we went to see Ghostbusters. You know, the teaser trailer played in front of Ghostbusters. And we took the kids. And my daughter definitely reacted like with this excited... like reaction, and she's 8. but I could definitely see an older generation, that's what we would call a younger generation, that fits in that middle lane where maybe you're right, that Beetlejuice is not a property that's
near and dear to
that's
their
not near and dear. But I don't know, like at the same time, it is one of those movies, and I would call it I wouldn't call it a Halloween movie, but it does seem like it gets more attention around Halloween, which is understandable. And so much so, like, you know, if you go to Spirit Halloween, they always have among the, you know, different merch they sell, aside from costumes, they'll have like a section of Beetlejuice stuff. So I feel like to a certain extent, it is still kind of in the zeitgeist, if you will.
I mean, you may be right. And I will definitely be interested to see how well it does. If its movie actually does good, Warner Brothers will be able to say they had two big, huge movies that had featured sandworms.
This is true. I hadn't thought about that. Which, I mean, we're assuming we'll see sandworms again.
I mean, you got to figure the sandworms will be back in Beetlejuice 2 in some capacity.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You think it'd be funny if for some reason they didn't write sandworms into the film, but now they're like hastily trying to find a scene to like do some visual effects and throw a sandworm in the background somewhere? Like,
that would be funny.
But no, you're probably right.
And they could capitalize off of the bucket as well. And
have they have to have a bucket. Sandworm. I would buy that bucket, and I'm not even into the popcorn bucket thing.
Yeah. That's maybe the next theme that they're going to present for the exhibitors. Like, oh, look at this bucket we got for you to sell. going through the schedule a little bit more. Oh, you had something else you were going
to say? Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. So on Wednesday, Wednesday, April 10th, there is a Lionsgate presentation. So... not much else is there. Again, I mentioned that Universal is also having a fuller presentation on Wednesday, as well as Focus Features. But it seems to me that the big day, the day that most people probably will be looking forward to the most, is Thursday, April 11th, because we have Paramount Pictures at 10 a.m. to 11:30. But then... from 2:30 to 4:45, we have Walt Disney Studios. And there's got to be no doubt in anyone's mind that the biggest thing that they will probably be showing for Disney is going to be Deadpool versus Wolverine. You think there's anything else, David, that might trump that as far as what they would be showing for Disney?
I mean, nothing comes to mind. Nothing up right off the top of my head, but that, yeah. So I would imagine you're right.
I think at this point the big question would probably be, how much will they show at CinemaCon? Will it be like one of those 30-minute presentations, 15-minute presentations with footage or not footage, but just like, you get to see the first 20 minutes of Deadpool versus Wolverine kind of thing? Or will it just be heavily influenced, but just showing different kinds of segments from the movie that can add up to a total of like 10, 15 minutes of it?
Right.
The one thing that I do wonder as far as for Disney, what they might decide to do is if they'll do anything for Fantastic Four, because that's not out until, actually, I want to say they're not starting to film until I think August, but I wonder if they will do something as far as trying to bring out the cast, because have they actually ever been officially confirmed by Marvel?
Yeah, they were officially announced. I mean, they put out that like official poster with their faces in the poster, you know, the one
right.
So,
but I mean, like in a,
not in a like presentation kind of way, not like not on a stage where it's like, okay, here, you know, not like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because I remember at that time when they were bringing, or that they had that poster, and one of the guys, I forget, the guy from the Bear, he was on a late night show either that same day or the day after, and he was still kind of playing coy a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. So it was like, well, I couldn't remember if they had officially announced it, or if because they were using the likeness of the people, of the actors as these characters, if they were just going with that sort of being the announcement in and of itself, as opposed to them saying,
like, I did a quick look, and I mean, there is a press release article on February 14th on Marvel.com. Marvel Studios announces Fantastic Four cast, and they do name them here.
So, yeah. Okay.
And then they also show that picture.
So, yeah, then they definitely had that official announcement. So it would be more like, do you think that they would roll them out onto the stage here? Or is that something that maybe they would even try and just save for San Diego Comic-Con being in July? And that's a little bit closer, but that puts it pretty close to when they would start filming in August. So that's kind of the only thing where I would think maybe they won't do anything for Comic-Con, and maybe especially they could do something here for CinemaCon.
Well, especially you have a D23 this summer, don't you?
That's right. There is one. But I don't recall when that is. I thought that was like maybe in September.
I think it's in August.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it's like mid-August, early to mid-August.
So, is there anything else that you can think of that Disney has coming out? I could have sworn there was like, okay, I remember what it was. There's a Mufasa live action. Yeah. Well, I say live action, but there's another one, how they did the Lion King adapted the animated movie.
Right.
And so there's the Mufasa movie that's supposed to come out. I want to say it's this year. Maybe towards the end of this year. So maybe that could be another thing that they would be presenting as well.
Could be. I forgot about that. But yeah, I could see that. When's the Snow White movie coming out now? When did that get pushed to?
Yeah, that got pushed to, I want to say, 2026.
Oh, what?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I
like that far? I mean, this is a movie that's like super in the can. Like, it's ready to go, right? Like, it's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. I want to say I felt like that it wasn't completely finished, but also I think it was some, well, at least people were speculating. And once something like that happens, of course, the rumor mill opens up. But the thought was that maybe because of a lot of the things that, Rachel Ziegler had been saying it around that time.
Yeah.
She was getting pushed back hard for it, so that they said, well, why don't we just push this movie out and let things die down for a little bit and see where we go from there. So yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking is happening there.
Well, I mean,
and now that we talk, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I mean, a quick look, it was pushed. It was pushed to March 21st, 2025.
Okay.
It was supposed to have been out at this point already. It was gonna release on March 22nd, 2024. And then they pushed it a year.
A full year. Yeah. Okay. That's not as bad as 2026 then.
No, not as bad.
Be super far off. But yeah, in talking about that movie, it, for whatever reason, it made me think about Wizard of Oz. And so maybe that's another one that they'll show for Warner Brothers, I think.
Oh, Wicked?
It would be Wicked.
Yeah. That's true. Forgot about that. That's a big one.
So, Paramount, I don't know quite what they might show, but one that I know that I'm looking forward to seeing about, which I don't think is on 90% of the people's radar out there, is this Transformers 1 movie that I remember them announcing a couple years ago. That's an animated film, and it's supposed to be centered around, I think, a young Optimus Prime and Megatron before maybe they became enemies or something like that.
Yeah.
But I just remember that Chris Hemsworth is supposed to be doing the voice of Optimus Prime. So I'm very curious about that one. I don't know what to think yet. And so I'm hoping that they show something of that on Paramount's time on Thursday, just so at least even if they don't show the public, I can get a gauge of what people who are there are thinking about it, because I'm so curious about it. I'm curious what the animation style will look like. I'm curious what they will sound like if they give them some of that as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about that one. And then probably the only other one that I can think of that they would be showing, it would be Sonic 3, I think. Yeah, Sonic 3, which probably would be sometime later this year, I think.
And we're talking about Paramount, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're also Gladiator 2 is Paramount, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's got to be a big one.
Yeah. Because I've seen images, too, of like them showing like advertisement kind of stuff for Gladiator 2 there.
Yeah. I'll be curious about that one.
Yeah.
Just because it has a good cast, but I don't recall hearing too much other than when they were filming it, that they were filming it, but didn't hear much outside of that. No sneaked photos or anything that I can recall. There may have been some, but I just don't recall seeing any.
I don't think I've seen any. I mean, maybe I'm just forgetting, but I don't think I've seen anything like that. Maybe probably just because it's filmed probably completely in the studio setting, or even if it is out on location for parts, it's probably remote enough that there's not a lot of like leaked photos happening with a movie like that. But anyway, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, me too, actually. And I wouldn't have been before, especially because it had been rumored that they were going to do a Gladiator 2 a couple times, it feels like, within the last decade. And the ideas of what they kept bringing up just didn't sound appealing to me. It was something along the lines of Russell Crowe's character would be coming back as a ghost. And it just did not sound...
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
I just couldn't get my head around it. And I was like, okay, I hope this movie never gets made. And
right.
Yeah, it seems like it didn't get made, but they are still doing a Gladiator 2 just without that concept.
It's been a perfect amount of time, in my opinion. Like, if they had made a Gladiator 2 like 3 years later, probably would not have been good, right?
No.
At least I feel like the odds would have been against it. But now we're like far enough out that I think there's a very good chance it could be solid.
Yeah. 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 I'm looking forward to it for sure. So we can expect to probably see some of that or hear about some of that on Thursday. And that's pretty much it, honestly, for the presentations that they have.
Yeah.
It's not like a lot in terms of what I'm saying, but because these are these studios and me and you, we can't think of every single thing that they have coming out within the next 12 months. They might show a lot of good stuff that we'll just hear about throughout the week this week. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, is just things that weren't even on my radar hearing about, and things that I've been looking forward to knowing more about, getting to hear some of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
Well, so one other thing that I wanted to mention that we got some news last week, and we hadn't had a chance to talk about it. We didn't record last week, but are you ready for some more Game of Thrones?
Oh, yes. yes, I need to start a rewatch of the first season. I want to do that before the new season drops. But yes, I'm very much ready.
So it's good that you are ready for more Game of Thrones, because more Game of Thrones is what you will be getting, because they have announced that a new spinoff is coming called The Hedge Knight.
Yeah.
And they have cast Dunk and Egg Rolls. And now I know zero about this book and these characters, other than the fact that this apparently takes place somewhere in between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, somewhere right in the middle of that, like maybe 100 years after House of the Dragon and 100 years before Game of Thrones. And I believe it centers around Targaryens still. But outside of that, I don't know too much. So how much do you know about this actual storyline?
Almost nothing. I mean, and I should say, I think there was probably a point where I had heard a little more about it, and I've already forgotten. Okay. I think on another, a podcast I've listened to that covers episode by episode when they were doing House of the Dragon season one. I thought the one person that's on that podcast that was kind of the Game of Thrones expert who's read like everything, brought it up and explained it, but I can't remember what it was. So basically my answer is nothing.
I do have a log line, so I can read that for anyone that's interested. And it says, a century before the events of Game of Thrones, two unlikely heroes wandered Westeros. A young, naive, but courageous knight, Sir Duncan the Tall, and his diminutive squire, Egg. Set in an age when the Targaryen line still holds the Iron Throne, and the memory of the last dragon has not yet passed from living memory, great destinies, powerful foes, and dangerous exploits all await these improbable and incomparable friends. And then it says a little bit further down in the article that the other shows are sweeping war epics with sprawling ensemble casts that take place in multiple locations. The Dunk and Egg stories are more intimate two-handers with a bit of a lighter tone.
Okay.
That would be way different from our Game of Thrones, a lighter tone.
A lighter tone. I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I could see, though, where, because there, you know, there's a certain amount of humor in like the original, you know, in the Game of Thrones run.
Yeah.
And I could see it where you just kind of lay into that more, but it still very much feels like Game of Thrones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if I understand how you're saying it, or at least suggesting it, it's that there's a certain level of dry humor to it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's not like slapstick humor. So it would keep in tone with that kind of lightness that maybe like a Sam Tarly would have, or something of that nature, where he can be silly at times, but it's not like just overtly pulling you out of the Game of Thrones-ness of it all, where it can still be just sort of light humor between that type of Game of Thrones humor that they typically would have, and just transport that aspect of it to this kind of show where it's just that tone the majority of the time. There's just not that heaviness that Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon typically thrive in.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about it. I think I saw something somewhere that said that there's not novels, but maybe like graphic novels of these stories somewhere.
Oh, really?
I'd heard something. I caught part of the conversation, and it sounded like this is, there's something you can go and look at for this that exists already in terms of a story. And I for whatever reason, graphic novel keeps coming to mind, but I could be wrong about that. It doesn't mention that in this article, so I could be wrong about that. But I do recall there being something out there that has some of these stories already where you can check them out. So I am curious to see it within the live action version of this and to see just how much Game of Thrones can survive at one time. I think that as long as the stories are good, anything's possible. There's like, what, at least two or three different Yellowstone shows, and there's how many different NCIS shows and all the other ones that are like that. I guess it's possible as long as they have interesting stories to tell. So at first, and I think at the time, I probably would still feel right in saying that as Game of Thrones was finishing and they were talking about having all these different shows, at the time I was like, I don't know about that. Like, it just felt like it was too soon to start talking about kind of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. But once now the time had passed and we got our hands on House of the Dragon, it felt like, all right, this, it's been gone long enough, and this is filling that need. And so now it's kind of like, okay, I can see how there could be more stories to fill out this world. And now that we've gotten that main story done, there's definitely other stories that can be told in the corners of Westeros. So yeah, I think I am more so looking forward to this than I had been before previously.
Yeah, I mean, because when this, like, among the many spinoff things that have been kind of like, okay, possibilities, and then, you know, went into production, like House of the Dragon finally did, and I think it was during the run of House of the Dragon when this got announced, it was like, oh man, like, really? Like, is this maybe now a little too much? Like, yeah, I would agree. But like you're saying, at this point now, I'm like, okay, no, that sounds good. Like, let's do that. Like, I could do that. But yeah, when it was announced, I was a little more like, yeah, let's not push it. Like, do we need to make too much stuff? Like,
and I did a quick search, and there is indeed a comic book.
Okay.
The Hedge Knight, and it's on Image Comics. So, yeah.
Cool.
And I got one more story for you, David.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. So, Disney sets Star Wars movie The Mandalorian and Grogu with a release date of 2026, May 22nd, 2026. Now, it's interesting to me because we have this date that I don't know in terms of what that means for far as the series itself. I keep hearing things go back and forth about, yes, there'll still be another season after this. And then I've also heard that this will just be the way they go forward, is if this movie does good, they'll just make more movies and not return back for a series. So do you think that you would rather have The Mandalorian as a series, or are you okay with it if it just transitioned into movies?
That is an excellent question. I have not considered. I don't know. I don't think I love the idea overall of it transitioning. Like, that's not to say because we have Star Wars characters that have a show, they shouldn't be seen in a movie or anything, but I don't know what I think of the idea of, like, there being the show and we're just kind of still continuing the story, but now we're going to do it in movie theaters. It's just, I don't know. I can't pinpoint, like, a good explanation as to why I feel that way, but I just do. Like, does that make sense at all?
If I understood maybe that thing that you can't pinpoint, maybe I can understand it a little bit better, because I think I might be on the other side of it.
Okay.
I feel like I don't mind if it transitions into movies, because while I did like this last season of The Mandalorian, I also felt like it was a little less focused. What?
I joked. I'm like, oh, really? Did you? I'm joking.
Yeah, I did. I know. But it still felt disjointed to me and a little less focused. And so I don't know if that's because creatively they were trying to stretch and they just didn't have a good idea for a full season and being able to tell that story. And when you think about it and look back at it, it would have probably made just for a better 2-hour movie. And so I'm like, okay, if maybe that's the better way to do it with what they've gotten. We got two really good seasons, and now maybe just to have movies with these characters would be a better way. The production would be higher, and we get more of a Star Wars look and feel out of it, more so than if they just were to be heavily dependent upon it just being a series for Disney Plus. And so maybe the idea to me, I think, would be if we've gotten everything we can get out of these characters from a weekly basis of whatever 8-10 stories that they tell, that seems somehow like you could have told it in probably 4 or 5, then I think that I would rather just see that as a movie as opposed to a series. But if they do feel like they could return back to the series format and then make it to where they want to tell really good stories and give us 10 episodes and give us an hour of each of those episodes and make it like their cornerstone Game of Thrones, where they're not trying to do 3 or 4 different Star Wars shows in a year, but they're only doing 1 or 2, and then they spend the money to make them very high quality, then I would like to see it back on Disney Plus again. But only under those circumstances, because I feel like outside of that, I don't want them to go back to giving us these 30-minute, 32-minute episodes that feel like, okay, I wish this I could just binge this because this episode didn't quite hit that much for me. And then it kind of just like, now I got to wait till next week to see if that story picks up a little bit more and is not like the side story that I don't really care too much about. So that's just kind of how I'm feeling about it right now. I could change my mind, but yeah, at this point I'm leaning more towards, I wouldn't mind just seeing it as a series of movies if this one does well.
I don't disagree with anything you've said, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you've convinced me. Yeah, I mean, again, I hadn't really thought about it, but, you know, listening to what you're saying, yeah, maybe it'll be good. There's a part of me that's like, but then should they have just done like a movie on Disney Plus? But why not put it in theaters? I mean, So,
you know, that and that's a good point. And I feel like maybe the reason why, if anyone who's out there who's been paying attention to a lot of the stuff that Disney's been going through recently with the shareholders and just in general, them trying to right the ship from the bad year that they've had in terms of some of their movies, I think that Bob Iger's thought is that we need to return the prestige back to these things and put them back in theaters as opposed to having them on Disney Plus. He hasn't said, at least not that I've seen anywhere, he hasn't said that they're abandoning Disney Plus and not doing any Star Wars shows or any more Marvel shows. But I think that the idea is probably we want to make sure that we limit the amount of stuff that we do on Disney Plus so that you're not heavily dependent upon having this big base of viewers and users to help supplement the cost that it would take to make a Mandalorian movie and then just put it on Disney Plus. So I think the idea is probably like, okay, if we have a really good solid idea for a series that's in the Star Wars universe that can be told, then we will put that forward and bring it to that platform. And then anything else, as long as we're trying to make sure that we're not overloading everybody with all these different movies, then we will bring them back into theaters for certain things. So I guess I kind of understand the logic of it, and especially based on what's happened. But there's also a certain argument to be made with that. You could just slow down on what you're doing for Disney Plus and just focus on making it good quality, which I do think that they're trying to do. But there's already been so many things that's been made within this time frame that still have yet to come out that will still be part of the old stuff. And we won't get to see anything new. In fact, that I don't think that I've heard anything new under Bob Iger that's been announced Star Wars related for Disney Plus. And you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong on that, though.
No, not live action.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Live
action. I can't think of anything.
So, which is interesting in and of itself.
Yeah.
There's been no official announcement of another season of The Mandalorian. We already know that we have Andor, but that's, you know, that's been done. And we also know that we have Skeleton Crew, which has been done. So
right.
There's been nothing since after that stuff that I'm aware of that's been announced.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, so either they're taking a step back and just focusing on theatrical, or it's something that they're just waiting for the right thing to be able to bring to Disney Plus. But yeah, either way, I think that they obviously are finally looking to return to theaters in that May 22nd, 2026 year. And it seems like it's a long way off, but it feels like actually we'll start hearing about things sooner rather than later, because they'll have to go off and start to film things and get ready for casting announcements and everything else that'll start to come here soon. Which, that's the part I think I'm most curious about, is outside of Mandalorian and Grogu, who else will be part of this story?
Oh, this movie?
Yeah, this particular movie, yeah.
Yeah, that is a good question, considering how the last season ended. And yeah, I don't know. Mm. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, no, I don't know what the direction would be for right. that at this point, because of the way, like you said, the way season three ends.
Yeah.
I don't even know where they're going with it. So that's kind of, in and of itself, will be an interesting thing once you see what the idea, the concept is story-wise for this movie.
Yeah.
And do you think that people in general are over Grogu, or do you think that people will show up in the theaters because of how much that they still do love Grogu? Because I don't have a vibe one way or the other in terms of how everyone seemed to fall in love with Grogu when he was first introduced in that first season. And now I don't know. It's like, has his time passed, or do you feel like he's still kind of like relevant?
I would say that in 2026, this is in 2026, this movie's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's far enough away. And if we're not getting any content that has Grogu until then, I think people will come out for Grogu, yes.
That's a good point.
I think it'll be a nice big gap. Now, if this were coming out later this year and you asked me that question, I don't know, actually. I think, I don't know if there's a huge following still for like love for Grogu, but I guess if I had to bet, I would say yes, there is.
Mm.
But I'm not. I'm saying that's admitting I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you were saying that, one question that did sort of pop into my mind, but now I feel like I may have answered my own question, but the thought I had was, for this movie, do you think some time will have passed, and will they age Grogu up a little bit?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. But that's the thing, though. Like, he's aging so slowly, right? Like,
yeah,
that might seem weird. I don't know. That's a good question.
My thought is, as I was saying, I sort of answered the question in my head at the same time I asked it,
okay,
is that they probably won't, just because there's that inherent cuteness to how he is. And so I think they will want to play off of that to help bolster attendance for that movie.
Yeah.
So I could see where maybe the way that movie would end, they might try to age him up somehow. Like it fast forwards something or whatever. And then because we still don't know how Yoda's people age. Maybe they hit like a huge growth spurt at the age of 102 or something. You know, like, there's no way of knowing, and they can say anything they want. They can create any mythology around it because there's none. So
it's
just kind of curious. And you would hate, or at least I would hate, for them to treat Grogu like Maggie Simpson and just like always be a baby So I would be curious as to when they feel like they would want to try to bring the character up a little bit. And will that at the same time be that one thing, like in a lot of TV shows, when there is the will they or won't they, and then once they do, it kind of loses its steam for the TV show because now they have, and it's like, okay, there's not that tension anymore. So if at some point they age Grogu up, does that lose the magic of it, of that character? And then people will be like, "Yeah, now he's just a moody teenager like Groot," or like how he was in the second movie or something.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just curious.
I wonder, like, if it would have just worked out better. And then it made me think, well, maybe this was the plan that they had to ditch. But like, you know, it's kind of like evidence of it would have been a good idea indeed when Grogu went off with Luke for him to truly just stay gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't have maybe not seen Grogu for a long, long time. And then you wouldn't have to worry about the how do we like slowly age him kind of situation.
Right.
You could just jump forward to a period of time, say in the next Rey film.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And then suddenly like Grogu has been hiding out somewhere and he appears and he's older and can talk and, you know.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool, actually, now that you say that. Because it'd be like you get the best of both worlds in that they can keep him how he is during this time frame of just being able to see him with the Mandalorian and just keep him like that. And then in the Rey movie, you see him and he's an older version and whatever that would mean for that character at that point.
Right.
And you wouldn't have to say, oh, well, now he's just the older Grogu and we'll never get to see him as that younger baby anymore. But they could technically do both in parallel.
Yeah, they could.
Hmm.
And that could happen.
Well, yeah, no, it totally could. It really could, because they got to do something with the character at some point.
Right.
Because we know of the character at this time frame. And so this is all after Return of the Jedi. So it's like, okay, well, what ends up happening to this character however many years later? So they're going to have to, well, I say they're going to have to, but they don't have to. But you figure at some point they will want to tell the story of where Grogu ends up in all of this.
Yeah. You would think that's at least a plan, but
yeah,
then you wonder, was there a plan? I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's always that too. There's definitely always that. They come up with these great concepts, but don't know how to stick a landing.
Right.
Sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have, David, unless there's anything else you want to talk about this week.
One quick thing, since we're kind of out of time, and I want to bring this up just to actually maybe get feedback from anyone out there listening, like what their experience on this has been. So I went to Disney's Animal Kingdom this weekend, and Michelle and I went. And you know, as you may know or may not know, the you know the Avatar Pandora Land is in that park. And it's funny, I don't, you know, I should look up how long that land has been open. For whatever reason, I didn't even visit Pandora for the first time until like, it was like a couple years ago, maybe. And I finally went there. But anyway, I still hadn't ridden though the ride. There's two rides in that area. And finally this weekend got around to riding them. And I've always wanted to ride. I mean, the big, by the way, if you don't know, like the bigger ride, the bigger like e-ticket ride is Flight of Passage, which is the one where you get to ride on a Banshee. The other one is not as big of a deal. It's a little like gentle river ride where you're riding through like an avatar, like forest, like in the dark, like you're inside. So it's dark and it's all everything's bioluminescent. But that's very chill and not a big deal. Anyway, the Flight of Passage ride, it's still a major ride. It has like individual lightning lane, and I've heard very good things very recently about it. Like in another podcast, actually, somebody was talking about it. Like, yep, even with Rise of the Resistance and the Guardians ride, this Flight of Passage is the best ride on property. And I was like, really? Like, okay, I gotta go check this out. Finally, I get around to riding it. And Michelle, by the way, had ridden it the first time just a few months ago, I think. So she's also only ridden it more recently for the first time, but she had been on it before. So I rode it this weekend, and I bring it up because I was not blown away by this ride. For a ride that I have now even since like Googled and seen tweets from people who rave about this ride. Like, yep, it is it's bit like the phrase I've seen more than once is, you know, how immersive it is. It's very immersive, right? And I don't know, that just wasn't my experience. And it makes me go, is it like evidence of like Disney slacking on their maintenance? Like, and it just needs, that ride needs some love that it's not getting, maybe. Which bums me out as someone who has worked for Disney in the past, and you know, they tend to have pretty high standards of quality. Like, that's a bummer, because I talked to a coworker who I think wrote it during cast previews, so he obviously wrote it very early on, and he was like, oh my god, no, that ride was amazing. Like, you could feel like the Banshee breathing against your like body, like kind of thing, you know, even though it's like, it's basically a 3D ride. And I'm listening to this going, nah, I don't remember that. Like, did my seat not work? Like, and the 3D presentation seemed like it definitely needed some love. Like, it was like, it seemed blurry. Like, the projection wasn't great. And I don't know. I bring it up because, one, it just kind of disappointed me, especially considering how many good things I've heard about this ride. And two, I'm curious if anyone listening has ridden that ride, if you've ridden it more recently, if your experience was also not great. Like, good. I mean, don't get me wrong. The ride is good, but it's just, I wouldn't even call it my favorite attraction at Animal Kingdom. But so, yeah, I mean, based on what I'm hearing, my expectations were expecting more. So I don't know. I'm just curious.
I feel like on the film cast that we've listened to in the past,
okay,
they talked about it, and this was a few years back. And I thought maybe they had mentioned going on it and saying that it was really immersive. So that was the thought that I had about it as well. And last week there was an article saying how at Disneyland, I guess one of the new areas that they're going to be adding is going to be a Pandora. So
yeah,
I'm hoping it's better than what you're saying the experience was for you. Because, yeah, that would suck.
I mean, based on, again, the conversation I had today with a coworker who, again, you know, wrote it super early on. It does, like what he described, I'm like, no, I after he was done, I was like, no, man, like what you're describing, that sounds great. That's just not what I experienced. And it makes me feel like, okay, the ride needs some maintenance love, you know, that it's not getting or something. Mm. Or some, there's some quality control that's kind of gone downhill, which, you know, not that James Cameron is constantly checking in on his attractions at Disney World, but you would almost feel like there would be an extra effort knowing how he is to make sure that those rides are always like up to snuff. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's fair, but no, it just bums me out because I'm like, man, I want to experience the ride you guys are talking about because that's not what I rode. Like, it makes me want to go ride it again super soon just to see if maybe it was a bad day. Maybe it was a bad, the seat I was sitting in wasn't working or something. And again, though, it was also the projection. The projection wasn't great. Like, it seemed off. So it's a bummer.
Yeah, that sucks. That's like any time I've gone to a movie where the projection isn't as bright or something's going on there. So, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought I'd bring that up because just read that for the first time. And like I said, I'm curious if anyone listening has ridden it either farther back or more recently and what your experience was like. Am I crazy for thinking it was just okay? Like, I mean, I wouldn't even say it was just okay. It was good, but wasn't that good. I would definitely say Rise of the Resistance is a better attraction. I would definitely say the new Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind at Epcot is a better attraction, easily.
Wow.
Anyway, that's all. That's all I got. So, yeah, unless you have anything else, I guess that's going to do it for us this week. As always, we would love to hear back from everyone listening. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at @Flickr_effect. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. feedback@flickreffect.com. I should mention before we leave, I believe it's a early happy birthday to Bobby Jackson. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow, yep. Tomorrow's the official day. So
tomorrow's the day.
Yeah. Just chilling. Been doing a lot of birthday stuff recently. So nice. Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, happy birthday. Happy early birthday, even though it's only a few hours away. But with that, I'm Dave Lott.
I'm Bobby Jackson.
Thanks for listening.